Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
I really appreciate you joining us in this podcast. And today we're going to continue what we spoke about in our last episode, where we were looking at Matthew chapter 4. Just to kind of give you some background and get us to where we need to be for this lesson today. Jesus was tempted by the devil three separate times. And in every single instance, he referred back to God's word. He pointed to God's wisdom and in essence told the devil, God is worthy of worship, you are not. So Jesus lived out his purpose, because had he failed in these temptations, he would no longer have been sinless. Then his death on the cross would have been worthless. He could not have risen from the dead, and we would still be in our sins. So as an example for us, he shows the importance of finding your purpose and living it throughout every moment, every instance of every day in your life. So in Matthew chapter 4, he continues from that. After he has finished the temptation, we find that John the Baptist has been arrested. So Jesus withdraws to the tiny area of Galilee, and that is where he is going to spend a good bit of time in his public ministry. And what we need to look at is Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, because this is important. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if you look at that word preach, it speaks about a message in public. So it's a public announcement. It's a public proclamation of what? Convictions. Something of which you are convinced is 100% true. Now, why is that important? You know, several years ago, I wrote this down, that if your convictions are not convincing, then you will make choices of convenience rather than principle. If you're not convinced that your convictions are truly worth standing for, then you won't stand for them. Jesus was clear. So what was that conviction? What was it that he clung to? We see that in the latter part of the verse, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This word repent here means to change one's mind or to change one's purpose, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But repentance here. So Jesus is tying back into the ministry of John the Baptist, showing that John was the forerunner of Christ that had been prophesied. But this aspect of repentance is a decisive, a convincing reorientation of your life to live for the Lord rather than living for yourself. In other words, you are to change your heart. You can't change your heart. The only one that could do that was God alone. So Jesus was preaching, you need to change your mind, you need to change your life, you need to change your purpose. Why? Because the long-awaited kingdom, the Messiah that you've been looking for, is now here. With that as the backdrop, let's look at what Christ does here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, this passage is rather unique because Jesus is doing something countercultural. He, as a rabbi, he as a teacher, was reaching out and picking his own students. In this day, that wouldn't have happened. You as a student would have tried to have been accepted by a rabbi into their teaching. You would have had to come to them, you would have had to try out, you would have tried to demonstrate your worth to that teacher, but that's not what Jesus is doing. The religious rulers of that day would have looked for the best and the brightest. Jesus came to these men, these fishermen, and said, I want you to follow me. Now, the interesting part here is when we look at what Jesus is doing, he's telling them, follow me. And we gloss over that, and we don't slow down, and we don't stop and think about what that really means. So Jesus is not just some off-the-cuff remark, some whim, easy statement, hey, guys, why don't you come and follow me if you want to? No, this was an exclamation. This was a declaratory statement. He was getting their attention and saying, you don't have a choice. You need to follow me. Come now. Come here. Let's move. Let's go. This was very specific. This was very powerful with what he was doing. And if you notice, of these four that he chose, three of them would become the inner circle that Christ had. We don't know why Andrew was not part of that inner circle. But what we do know is that every single one of these disciples had a purpose. They were to come into a closer relationship with Jesus, to learn of him, to understand his teaching, and then in turn, after he has gone, to go out and continue his ministry and turn the world upside down through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus said to them, follow me, there are several things that these men had to do. Number one, they had to stop in the moment. They could have been busy. They could have been, as we see here with what the sons of Zebedee were doing, they were mending their nets. They were busy at work. So first of all, they had to stop in the moment. And after they had stopped, number two, they would listen for guidance, and they would listen to what he had to say. And what did Jesus tell them? Not just follow me. Just follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, we don't know how Jesus called James and John. It's probably very similar here that Jesus said the same thing. He's using that analogy of fishing to be able to drag them, to grab them immediately, and get their attention so that they would understand what he's saying. But thirdly, he's saying you've got to change your course. You're not just going to cast nets into the sea anymore to get fish. You're going to be casting out the truth to bring people into the kingdom. Now, I want to stop here to make sure that we understand the differences in fishing. In modern day fishing, I have a spinning rod that's in my garage. And the favorite lure that I have is a buzzbait that you'll toss out on a pond, and you'll wind it in very quickly, and it just makes a fluttering splash. It's just coming across, and then a big bass will come up from the bottom and grab it. So Jesus is not saying you're here to trick men. Jesus is saying what you're going to do is you're going to take the net, which is the truth of God's word, and you're going to cast it out on many waters. And there are those that will then come into the family, into the kingdom. So Jesus is using this as an analogy, but you're still going to have to change your course. You're not going to be fishing for fish. You're going to be working for men. But number four, so not only did they stop, not only did they listen, not only are they going to change their course, but they had to trust the direction. If you look at John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, New Testament scholars postulate that at least Peter and Andrew had been following Jesus for some time. They had been in his presence, and for whatever reason, they returned home. But Jesus is now calling them to leave their home and to come to him. But the last thing, the most critical of all, you can stop, you can listen, you can know you need to change, you can trust, but none of that matters until you get to this fifth point that you need to leave something. Think about what these fishermen left. They left their occupation, their families, their property. They left what they knew. They left their families. They left the life that they had spent an entire lifetime building in order to follow Jesus. This doesn't seem to make sense, but it makes absolute perfect sense. These men who would become the leaders of the early Christian church, these men who would suffer persecution, these men who would be told they turned the world upside down because of the message that they had from Jesus, these men were great leaders. Why? Because they were first great followers. If you are listening to this podcast and you are in a position of leadership, you need to be a great follower. If you are listening to this podcast and you don't believe that you're a leader because you may not have a position or you don't believe that people are watching you, well, they are. But you need to be a great follower. And who do you need to follow? You need to follow the leader, the greatest leader of all time, and that's Jesus Christ. But notice what they did. Immediately, without question, without comment, without a lack of faith, they left and they followed Jesus. But notice the second part of this. It's not just that Jesus came to them and said, follow me. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, we don't see an explanation here in this passage of what that literally means. But let's skip ahead to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and we start to see what a fisher of men is. And he, this is Jesus, went throughout all Galilee. Notice what he does. Three things. Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Two of these three were focused on teaching the truth. The last were works to prove his divinity. Now this is important for us because healing follows the teaching and healing follows the preaching. In our modern world, we have so many people that are consumed with right, that are consumed with justice, that are consumed with peace, that are consumed with reform. But the problem is these individuals do not want the one who can bring it. That is where the aspect of being convinced of your convictions matters. Why? Because if you're not convinced, then you choose convenience. We have the truth in our hands, and we need to share the truth with our hearts, with our mouths, with our lives. But notice here what happens. Why is Jesus the leader that we need to follow? I think there are four reasons. Number one, because he had the conviction of a message. And that message was very clear. What the religious rulers are teaching you as Jews is wrong. You need to repent. You need to change your mind. You need to change your purpose. And that's what he called these four men, these fishermen, to do. Think about Matthew, the author of this gospel, a former tax collector, hated by the Jews. And Jesus came to him and said, follow me. And he had him change his purpose. Let me ask you this. Has Christ changed your purpose? Have you become convicted of the message that he has offered to you? That's something that you have to do with him, but I'm gonna put something out on the table for you. If your relationship with God is not right, then your relationship with mankind cannot be right. The vertical relationship determines the horizontal one. So Jesus had the conviction of a message. You know, I wrote this some time ago, and it's a little rhyme, but it's true here. If fence sitting is for me, then a leader I cannot be. Leaders have to choose this way or that way. We can't split the difference. And in our world today, we either take the truth that we have in God's Word, or we have the humanism that is offered by the world. You can't have. So Jesus had the conviction of a message. But number two, he also had the courage to model it. We see before he called these men, he's already preaching. And then after he's called these men, what does he do? He goes right back to preaching. So Jesus had the courage to model it. It's a whole lot easier to say you believe something. It's a whole lot harder to take what you say you believe and put it in action. But thirdly, this one is critical here. Jesus accepted the challenge to make it available to others. He's not just living it. He's now talking about it. And we know what would happen. Jesus would face significant, issues from the religious rulers. You know, this kind of reminds me of, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where in this, Paul is talking about how he and his helper Silas were afflicted in the city of Philippi. But what did he do? We had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the middle of much conflict. In other words, Paul was convicted of that message. He modeled it, but he spoke it even when challenged. And I absolutely love verse 4. In verse 4, he goes, So we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Note that phrase. You've got a choice to please man or a choice to please God. What's the title of this podcast? Follow the Leader. Which leader are you following? Are you following humanity or are you following the Creator of humanity? That choice makes a huge difference. So we see the conviction of a message. We see the courage to model it, the challenge to make it available, and then finally, the choice to use others to multiply. This is where this call into these first disciples makes such a huge difference. Jesus was going to share his life. He was going to share his struggles with him. They were going to see him unlike the way that most others would see Jesus Christ. They would see him, you know, overturn the tables in the temple where money was being changed. They would see him break cultural barriers by having a conversation with a Samaritan woman, one who had an awful reputation. They would see Jesus call the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers, vipers. He would pronounce woes to them. We would see this Jesus heal Gentiles. We would see him have compassion upon those that most others would not have compassion. We would see him, when confronted by the religious rulers, whether he would follow the law and stone a woman caught in the act of adultery. We would see him turn against them by saying, "If you don't have sin, you cast the first stone." These disciples had the greatest example in all of humanity's history to follow. But my friends, we may not have seen him for those 3 years, but we have the entire Bible in our hands. We still have the opportunity to be able to learn from him. Because if he created the earth, if he is sovereign over all of the earth, then all the principles that he has for us to live by and to lead by. That is the power of this example that Jesus affords us. Whether we're leaders, whether we're believers, whether we're trying to figure out who Jesus is, we have an example unlike any other in human history. The question that I have to put to you is very simple. How convinced are you of the convictions that you hold? If you're not fully convinced, then what's going to happen is that you will choose convenience when the difficulty arises. So in following the leader, my question to you is simple. Do you need to repent? And by repent, I mean, do you need to change your mind? Do you need to change your purpose? We all struggle. We all fall apart. We all fail. We all sin. But we need to have those decisive reorientations of our life to be in line with him when we falter. If anyone knows me, I'm an avid archer. I love to just shoot my bow. And so often we will watch that arrow hit the target. Oh, they hit it. Oh, they missed it. And we failed to study the mechanics of what led to that. You know, if you take an arrow does not fly towards a target of its own accord. The arrow, at the very back side of it, has a little thing called a nock. And you take the nock and you slip it on the outside of that bowstring so it attaches. When you draw the bowstring back, what happens is the limbs of that bow bend. And when you release the string, the power of those limbs are transferred from the string into the arrow, and that's what propels it forward. Who you attach yourself to in this life makes all the difference in the world. I would challenge you, follow the leader. Follow Jesus Christ. Look at his example. Look at how he lived his life. Study his teachings to see how they apply to you and to me every single day. because it's in every single day that we are defined by our moments. So I'll close with the statement that you've heard me say multiple times in the session. If your convictions are not convincing, that leads to choices of convenience. Do not choose convenience. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.